Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this week, we've got Toby Kovalevog from Leisure Outdoor Adventures over on Leech Lake. Now, Leisure Outdoor Adventures, they go far beyond Leech Lake. We talk a little bit about it in the show. They got a pretty good footprint over there, but Leech Lake's kind of home base for Toby, and Toby is one of the best regarded as by a lot of top shelf fishermen in the industry as one of the better live bait riggers for walleye. And so it's very fun to have Toby on the show here. This is his first time on, and it's just a great kind of a big picture conversation about live bait rigging. We cover a lot of bases in this. Toby really does a phenomenal job. After this interview, I had so many notes written down. I went out in my boat and spent some time re-rigging some things, my live bait rigs, because just a wealth of knowledge and experience and some really great ideas. And I tell you what, I think rigging live bait is probably, maybe for some people, a boring conversation, or maybe they think they got it all figured out. But I tell you what, just listening to Toby casually talk about some of his techniques and strategies to live bait rigging, let me know that the horizon is far bigger than I imagined. So very, very fun conversation this week. We're talking just kind of the whole big picture of live bait rigging with Toby Kovalevog. Let's get into the interview. Have you heard of the virtual angling app yet? If not, pick up your phone, go to wherever it is that you get your apps. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And just type in the virtual angling app. Download it, subscribe to it. Cutting edge exclusive content from leaders in the industry. We're talking fishing tips and tactics across the Midwest. Interactive Q&A. Whatever it is that you want, you can interact. You can get the answers that you're looking for. This is truly an app that is going to make you a more dangerous fisherman. This type of content is too good not to help you level up as a fisherman. If you listen to the JMO podcast, you're most likely the type of angler that is always looking for tips and tricks to get better. If you like that technical information, but you want it more tailored to yourself, something that you can search out exclusively what you're doing and where you're from, this is the app for you. Head over to the App Store, download Virtual Angling, subscribe to it, use promo code JM20 for savings on your first subscription, and get the Virtual Angling app today and be on your journey to becoming a better fisherman. Now let's get into the interview. A little bit of time here, getting to know you, Toby. I have never had you on before. This is a long time coming, though. I've heard your name a million times. I'm really excited to have you on the show, but I got to get to know you a little bit. You and I have never met in person, so as it pertains to fishing, I need you to tell me your story a little bit. I'm sure you've told it many times, but get me up to speed on where you're at today as far as your fishing career and everything that you're doing over there in Minnesota, man. Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. So Toby Kovalevog grew up in Bemidji, Minnesota, the headwaters of the Mississippi, so to speak, you know, and the Mississippi chain of lakes, Bemidji, Cass Lake, Andrusia, all that stuff, fishing on down to Leech Lake is kind of where I grew up, cut my teeth, so to speak, with walleye fishing. But, primarily I started fishing the Mississippi River not too far away from my parents' house, just a couple blocks down the road. You know, the Mississippi River as it passes my parents' house is, maybe 50 yards wide, you know, not even that. It's pretty small. And I would ride my bike down there and as a probably 8, 9, 10 year old, start running down there and fish under bridges like a lot of people do from shore, and chasing perch, rock bass, whatever bit. And I got bit doing that. And it was shortly after that, I had an experience with the Peterson's Northland Fishing Tackle, are a big part of an organization called Take a Kid Fishing at the Bemidji area. And I was paired up as a kid to fish with a gentleman by the name of Rob Baumer. Rob happened to work at one of the bait shops in Bemidji that I would also ride my bike to and kind of get bait every day and pick their brains on fishing. But he took me out in the boat for Take a Kid Fishing when I was probably 11, 12 years old. And at that point, I was the first time I was really in a boat with electronics, modern day 2D sonar electronics. And we were able to track a few fish on Lake Bemidji and ultimately catch a few. And from that moment on, I wanted to be like Rob. And I somehow convinced my dad to let me take the boat out starting at about age 13, 14. They'd drop me off at the edge of Lake Irvin, which is connected to Bemidji. And I would go out and try to do what Rob did. And that's drag your Lindy rig with a basically a Phelps floater and a leech around on Lake Bemidji Diamond Point Bar, and ultimately started catching walleyes, being successful at it. And boy, did I get hooked on that. And it wasn't too long after that, I had my first guiding experience, probably at the age of 16, 17. I tried to give back and participated in take kid fishing. I took a kid out again in my dad's boat, took a couple of kids out. We went to a little lake called Salt Twin, and I put some younger people on fish similar to the experience that I had. And boy, I really got hooked on that too. So I really became a fish head when after take a kid fishing happened. I had a buddy on Cass Lake that lived on Cass Lake, and I would spend most of my summers from seventh grade on through high school out at his house. We'd fish and fish bass, crappies, walleyes, whatever would bite, and ultimately got hooked. It was when I was in college, I started fishing my first tournaments, a couple local tournaments back in Bemidji, and we'd get in there and get our butts kicked by some of the local legends and fish some tournaments on Bemidji. And shortly after college, I got into what was called the FLW, which is similar to the NWT now, but they had a league series, and Minnesota had its own FLW league, which kind of paralleled the schedule of the FLW tour. And for about 3 years I did that league, ultimately ended up winning Angler of the Year a couple times, got to fish in the actual FLW out in Bismarck, as I got to punch a ticket as an Angler of the Year and fished the FLW, found that I could hang with those guys a little bit, fished a few years on tour with FLW, which is where I met other guys like Dusty Minky, who's a good buddy of mine now, and we partnered together and toured together, and I fished the tour. I'm also a school teacher, so Toby Kovalyevog now lives in Brainerd, Minnesota, so I followed that path to Brainerd as a school teacher. I'm going to start my 24th year now with teaching, and in the Brainerd Lakes area, it's a fishing mecca also. There's a lot of tourism in Brainerd, Gull Lake, the Whitefish Chain, and a need for fishing guides, so I was fortunate enough to find my way into a guide group there in Gull Lake, fishing with Walleye Dan's guide service. Spent about 10 years there. And a friend of mine, Jeff Anderson, and I fished together and had the opportunity to start our own guide service, which was going to be up on Leech Lake. And I thought, well, what an opportunity. Leech Lake's such an amazing lake. So a little over 11 years ago, Jeff Anderson and I started Leisure Outdoor Adventures up here on Leech Lake here in Minnesota by Walker. And I've been spending most of my summer since fishing Leech Lake, and of course a few tournaments here and there around the area. I still fish Lake Bemidji tournament. I have an MWC event coming up here in Cass Lake just a few weeks away over by Grand Rapids on Pokegama Lake, which is an awesome fishery. I fish a tournament there. And of course I fish a derby or two here on Leech Lake. So along with guiding, pretty much spend every day on the water between guiding and fishing tournaments and walleye fishermen for May, June, July, kind of transition to musky fishing in August, and then go back to walleyes for some tournaments and a few guide trips back in the fall. And by the end of mid-October, I get that itch to climb up in a tree and wait for that 30-pointer to come by. So I kind of hang it up then, and that's my season. And that's kind of my story. I started as a kid. My grandma would take me down to the river and take me fishing. A couple trips to Canada here and there, and maybe Red Lake, and I got hooked real young age. But that take kid fishing program in Bemidji, which I know is spread out to different areas too, is just real pivotal in the start of my career.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, man. A couple of takeaways while you're telling those stories, like, that I think speak a lot about you as I'm getting to know you. You know, maybe you kind of feel this way anyways, but like, You know, it seems like every one of those little pivotal moments that you mentioned, you know, those little stories that mean something to you, man, you have so much responsibility in that. Like nobody drug you fishing. I mean, everything was, you know, you pursued it. You know, you saw it and you pursued it, and you just knew that there was something inside of a fishing experience that you had to, you know, get at, you know, and where I think you know, everybody has a different story. And it's just great to hear your story, because now, you know, I want to get into your career now and some of your professional specialties, if you will. And knowing where that originated, I think speaks a lot. You know, whenever I have a guest on that's fished for those years, it's so cool to get those stories and hear it. And it's relatable. It's kind of inspiring. But at the same time, that's going to be in the back of my head here as we start talking about some walleye fishing, you know, in the rest of this show, and just kind of know where that comes from and just know where your passion, and that, you know, when something's in front of you and you feel like you know you want it, man, you're just you've always been dangerous, it seems like, to go and get it and get at that. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. That is super awesome. And any other stories that you ever want to tell throughout this show, you can just dive right into them. But that being said, people are going to know by this point in time in our conversation what I want to talk to you about. We're going to have captions on this. You know, we'll have, you know, a thumbnail on the YouTube, whatever it is. You know, but I want to talk to you about, you know, live bait rigging walleyes, right? That's a huge, like, step back title, department of fishing walleyes. That can mean a many, many, many things, you know, technically. But I do kind of want to talk about it with you kind of as a big picture thing. And then we'll narrow it down with, you know, however this conversation goes. But bait sure. rigging for you, you know, now, you know, on Leech Lake a lot. And like you said, you know, you were kind of baptized in a boat. You know, by the time you got in a boat and were catching walleye successfully, is that Lindy rig, you know, probably that open bail, finger on the line, yeah, you know, feel the bite, yeah, and all of that. And that's what I kind of want to get to, is kind of like your sort of take on a bait rigging and just sort of your personal story and relationship with live bait rigging. Because, man, there's a lot of really top-end anglers that have said some really complimentary things about you and your career and what you do now as a guide and as an angler with rigging bait. And so I really just want to figure out why everybody's talking about you with that. So talk a little bit about that, your relationship. What's your take on bait rigging in the open water season from the start of, you know, the opener when everybody's pitching jigs and shiners, you know, and when you move into rigging bait and what that looks like, what's kind of the recipe for success as you follow those fish patterns into when you start deer hunting in the fall?
Sure, sure. That's a good way to lay that out. You know, ultimately it's live bait rigging. So without live bait, we have no live bait rigging. So let's start with that end of the rigs per se. And ultimately, to be successful in live bait rigging, you have to have quality bait. So what does that look like? So you just mentioned early season. So yeah, a lot of times that is a spot tail shiner, but it doesn't have to be. The profile size of a minnow and the liveliness of a minnow is ultimately what matters the most when it comes to live bait rigging minnows per se. And minnows can be shiners, they can be rainbow chubs, they can be red tails, creek chubs, slickers, willow cats if you're down on the Mississippi River. And that's what the live bait is when it comes to a minnow per se. Then we have night crawlers, we have leeches, and when it comes to leeches, you have small, you have medium, you have larges, and it depends on how you're fishing them. The depth of the water really dictates the length of a leader, which does make a big difference. The kind of line you use in a leader makes a huge difference depending on if you're using fluorocarbon or a monofilament per se, and then of course the amount of weight. You know, the weight, heavier weight, the faster it goes down, the more vertical you can keep it under the boat. So where you're fishing and when makes a big, big, big difference. So there's live bait rigging is a really a big umbrella. It spreads out across the spectrum when it comes to walleye fishing, and I think the popularity of it started back with the green box, Lowrance green box, fish finders. And people being able to fish below their boat and following contours. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. But ultimately, 2D sonar and live bait rigging is a perfect marriage. And now there's side imaging and forward-facing sonar. You know, people are obviously doing different tactics, different times of the year. But flat-out live bait rigging really has its place and still does different parts of the year. So, yes, fishing opener, you typically find here in Minnesota, we find fish fairly shallow, anywhere between 4 feet and 12 feet of water. They're on sand or sand grass, they're chasing shiner minnows, and ultimately a presentation with a shiner minnow is the best for those first couple of weeks of the year. Now, that doesn't mean a leech does not work. A leech still, if you can get them, a leech is effective that early in the year too with a real slow presentation if the fish are down in the bottom, but really comes down to what are you seeing in the depth of the water? You know, if it's early in the year and you're fishing 4 to 6 feet of water, yeah, it's hard to beat a jig and a shiner. But when those fish push out in the middle of the day and maybe became a little bit more neutral, you can long line. When I like to go real lightweight. I like to long line a like an eighth ounce bullet weight or a barrel sinker or even a typical Lindy rig slip sinker with a long, long snell, like a 6 foot leader and a probably like a number four or six hook, something smaller, because the lips on a shiner minnow are like a crappie. They're a little real paperish and they'll tear real easy if you use too big of a hook. So a lot of times there's some moss and some gunk on the bottom. So just to get that minnow up a little bit, I like to use a glow bead, an owner glow bead. It's just a little piece of rubber you can cover your knot up a little bit with too. It adds an attractant, but it does add a little bit more lift to that leader. And that leader's got to be made of monofilament line when it comes to shiner fishing. You know, you do get bit off once in a while by pike, but you get a lot better lift. It's a light line and you get more movement out of a small minnow like a shiner that does not have as much muscle or does it go as crazy as, let's say, a red tail or a creek chub. So a real light line, a little bit of a float on it, getting away from the boat, it becomes real important, you know, around fishing opener. And then we, you know, fast forward a few weeks later, the water starts to worm a little bit. And now we're starting talking about maybe some bug hatches, or the young of the year minnows are starting to hatch, and or maybe even the crayfish are starting to molt. Now is when we start to see more of the other baits come into play. And the first bait I typically bring when I'm getting rid of the shiner minnows is a night crawler. Leeches and night crawlers both, but pretty much the same setup. Maybe just the difference is the speed, and then a night crawler. Night crawler is one of my favorite bites there is, because just like pulling spinners, they absolutely waylay on it. When they decide to eat one, they just load up, and when you're long lining, that's a fun bite because it just kind of loads up. You feed them a little line, reel down on it, set the hook, and then you're fishing a fish that's 60 feet away from the boat and bringing it in on light line. So a lot of big fish are caught. Those walleyes, the little ones and the big ones are all kind of together throughout the month of June still. And it's a fun way to catch them. You can move faster. I like to rig real slow back early in the year, you know, 0.4, kind of like dragging a leech speed, which is important. We could talk about that. You know, 0 to 0.4 miles an hour is a typical early season and always leech speed. I never fish faster than 0.4 with leech because a leech doesn't swim that fast. And for it to not spin an actual swim on a Lindy rig, you got to keep that boat real slow and real still for a leech to be effective. Night crawlers, not so much. Like a slow death on a Lindy rig, you kind of get a little bit of a spin in that. And one of the most important things with night crawler is to blow it up. And I do that. I do a single hook. I don't use a crawler harness. I use a single hook just through the nose, blow it up behind the collar, and that'll bring that bait up in the air. And what's real neat about it, if you watch a Lindy rig and a night crawler, is if you kind of do a slow sweep and not a jig so much, but a slow sweep, pull and pause, that crawler will go into a spin just like a slow death, but then it rises back up in the water column when you let off of it. And boy, they like you have a night crawler or a walleye at all chasing your night crawler. When you put that back up in there on that pause, it rises right back up in their face and they just absolutely load up on it and eat it. So that's a fun bite. That's one of my favorite bites. And then of course, rigging chubs that time of year, you're in shallow water too. And when you're fishing rocks and sand transitions here on Leech Lake, that's the places where a lot of the mayflies and things come out of, and crayfish are molting. And that chub bite is fun because kind of the same presentation, because we're in shallow water. I keep it away from the boat, but yeah, a chub will tell before it'll tell you. There's an alarm system built into a chub. When they're going to get eaten, they're strong enough that they can actually fight and try to swim away from the fish. And you ultimately feel that with a good rod. You know, I use Elliott rods and 2B rods from Two Brother Innovations out of Bemidji. The Elliots are so sensitive. And when you get that 6 pound test, you know, 50 feet away from the boat and you're dragging it, you can feel that minnow get real nervous. You just pause it for a second, drop your line, and you can feel that thump. And then you know it's on. The tug is the drug, man. With chubs, they go crazy, and you feel that fish just load up on it, feed them line, and set the hook. And ultimately, when you're using 4 to 6 inch minnows, when you set the hook, you know you got something. Whether it's pike or a big smallmouth or a walleye, typically the size of the fish are bigger. And where I'm at, that's when I get excited. I'd much rather catch 3 or 4 fish a day now than catch 20, 30. And I'm chasing big fish all the time, me personally now, not as a fishing guide. We go after whatever people want. So mid-season is that long, you know, long Lindy rigging. And then in Leech Lake here, there's different parts of the lake. You know, Walker Bay is a real deep part of the lake. The fish typically hang a little bit deeper as far as the rigging fish go. They can be anywhere from 60 feet to 30 feet deep. There's 140 feet of water in Walker Bay here on Leech Lake. So it's a real deep one. Of course, we're not fishing that deep, but the fish are in and around that deep water, you know, all the time. So they will get a little bit deeper, and you can rig those chubs out to 30, 40 feet of water and catch walleyes out there. I typically don't fish them that deep, but you certainly could. And then on the main lake, you know, it doesn't get as deep. The Leech Lake proper, the deepest part of the lake is like 40 feet. So there's a lot of mud off the rock humps on the main lake, and then all the beautiful points that are on the hard sand with rock transition points that are on the lake. Anytime there's wind is real important. Those fish load up. And so midsummer, we find ourselves off the rocks, just in that 10 to 12 foot, 14 foot transitions. And same thing, Lend your rig along, 2D sonar, you just drive until you mark a few fish and then throw them out. And if it's during the mayfly hatch, it's real hard to beat a spinner combination, but that's not really what we're talking about, bottom bouncers and spinners. But you can certainly drag multiple times. I'll do it again. I like fishing night crawlers. So I'll have clients with bottom bouncers on and leading the way as we're trolling forward down the lake. But I'll pitch a night crawler way out off the back and play cleanup hitter. And if something goes by the spinners, it ultimately will bite that night crawler in the back with that pull pause technique I was referring to here on Leech Lake. So that's summer fishing live bait rig. Now we head into the fall, and fall is ultimately probably my favorite time of the year, because those big fish got the feed bag on and they load up on the steep breaks, and you can go right down. It doesn't matter if we're on Gull Lake or Leech Lake or Lake Bemidji or Cass Lake. The steep breaks are where those whitefish and cisco start to push in, because they spawn in the fall. And those walleyes in those natural lakes with that population of bait fish, the ciscos, won't be very far. So big chubs, we're talking big chubs now. We're looking at 6 to 10 inch creek chubs. And now we upsize the hooks a little bit. One way to do it is use a 1-aught or a 2-aught hook, big hook through the lip, because they do have a lot more meat there and bone in their nose. You can put a big hook on it. But I was just talking with Jason Mitchell the other day about this, and I've actually gone backwards. I use a much smaller hook than a lot of people on the biggest minnows possible, but I don't hook them through the nose. I hook them right in the lip. So that's just a little piece of membrane right there, and I barely prick it through there. So every time I get a bite and a fish ultimately will hit a bait head first, they'll reposition it head first. And as soon as I get that bite, I don't even really feed them line anymore, just kind of like a jig and a shiner. I let the rod load up and set the hook, and the biggest minnows, I don't miss many fish anymore. And that's the one question, that there's a question I get asked a lot when it comes to rigging, is how long do you feed a fish with big minnows? And I tell you what, man, I've done it all. I've gone from number 2-aught hooks to feeding fish for a minute. My dad used to be a smoker. He'd light one up and burn one, and then try to catch a fish. And ultimately I've gone the opposite. Now when I get a bite, if I flip the line at all, I do keep my finger on the line, like you mentioned, with the bail open. But if I do anything, all I'm doing is giving the line so I can reposition myself in the boat so I can get a good hook set. I'm not counting the 10 or 20 or anything like that. I'm just getting my rod tip above the fish, wherever it's at in the water column or length of distance away from the boat. I'm just getting vertical so I get a good pull past it. And my ultimate goal is to break that hook free from the minnow every time I set the hook. So that's kind of what I do with those big minnows. But fall Lindy rigging, you know, typically now we're doing a little bit deeper fishing. So a half ounce sinker is not out of the question. And, you know, it's one thing I found last year too, was I guess the bait down low faster. And so when the bait drops into a fish faster, whether you're vertically fishing them or even using your side imaging technology, which is out there now, when you see fish, you can pitch a Lindy rig to a fish, and that heavier weight will drop them into the line of sight for where the walleye strike zone is a little bit faster. And boy, they like to eat it. You just throw it out there, cast it at a fish, and it drops faster, like a jig wrap per se. And they see that real meat coming down instead of a jig wrap artificial. And they are on it almost instantly when you do it that way. So traditional rigging, Lindy rigs, you know, we back trolling over them, 2D sonar, whether they're 20 feet down or 25 feet down or whatever the depths you're fishing, or using your side imaging and pitching them into the school that way. Live bait rigging is a lot of fun in the fall, and it's big minnows and it's big fish, and ultimately that's my favorite time to do it. So I don't know. I think I maybe t- talked a lot there, and maybe.
That was awesome. I got many awesome notes written down after that.
That's the end of the layout. So it's long lining, super shallow, 6 pound line early in the year with 1/8 ounce or 1/4 ounce weight, getting it away from the boat to vertically fishing 1/2 ounce sinkers over the top of the fish in 25, 30 feet of water come fall. And that transition in between is really is what kind of bait are you going to use? But ultimately, that's live bait rigging. You drive down a brake line, you mark a few fish, maybe throw it on a waypoint or throw it a fish buoy, and you're circling back and forth using that whatever technology you have, and you're keeping your bait in the strike zone longer with a lively bait, which is finesse fishing 101, and that's why it's a successful pattern yet to this day.
The JMO podcast is sponsored by Long Haul Trucking. Long Haul's always looking for more skilled professional CDL drivers to join their team. They're a people-first company, and it shows. Their employee-owned, asset-based fleet of over 350 Conestogas is among industry leaders in pay and benefits geared towards long-term success and growth for company drivers and owner-operators. If you're a professional driver or a company that wants to ship product with the best in the business, get a hold of Long Haul at 1-800-255-5153 or find them online at longhaultrucking.com. Long Haul, running on the power of promises kept. Would you say, you know, talking maybe a little bit about spots and breaking down water, right? You're a fishing guide. You look at a lot of spots. You know, you've got a lot of waypoints probably out on Leech Lake.
Too many, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the ability to maybe look at spots that you haven't seen in a while, so you're looking at it objectively, you know, maybe spots, you know, you're going probably starting the day where you caught them yesterday and seeing where that goes, so you kind of have that combination of fishing memories, but also breaking down water throughout the day to find fish. Like, when it comes to spots for, you know, rig and bait, you know, we can narrow it down to maybe a little bit, you know, kind of that midsummer to late summer time frame, you know, before, you know, as we get into like that pre-fall bite, you know, like now. You know, is there anything about rig and bait, you know, that kind of, you know, that makes it a spot maybe kind of tricky, or how does the best looking spot layout for rigging bait, you know, for the sense of, you know, like you said, you're back trolling, you're looking, you know, what's the size, what does it look like, what does the structure look like when you just know it just looks super sweet for running bait, and what is, you know, maybe, you know, talking boat control or whatever, when does a spot that maybe holds fish have to be fished differently? When does live bait maybe just not the most efficient thing? Maybe is there maybe a conversation there, about spots, sure, and how they look and how they lay out?
Absolutely. So when I look at a map every morning, you alluded to a lot of waypoints that I have, being the fact that I'm on this lake every single day of the summer. I have a lot of waypoints, but ultimately it comes down to the old FLP. That was a Linder in Fisherman back in the day. FLP was fish location presentation. And I think that's what you're asking me. So we're talking about walleye fishing, and we're talking about P presentation. That's linear rigging. So the fish, the L is location. So where do you start? So Leech Lake is 112,000 acres. I can tell you it's wind driven, right? So with wind being a factor, with consistent wind for any time frame of 24 hours, you're going to have a natural flow of plankton, which is followed by bait fish, which is followed by predators. And in this case, we're talking about walleyes. So whether we're on the main lake or we're in Walker Bay or Cabacona Bay or wherever it may be, the first thing I think about in the day is, okay, where has the wind been? Where is it going? Where's the current, and where's the bait fish going to be? So one of the things I do every morning is when I'm idling out of my Blue Water Lodge here where I stay at the south end of Walker Bay, is I pay attention to what the bait's doing, even though it's nowhere close to where I'm fishing walleyes. And if the walleyes, I'm looking at my 2D sonar and I can see the bait fish are down in the grass, they're on the bottom, I know that this is going to be a great time to be live bait rigging wherever I decide to go. If the bait's up real high in the water column, and I know that I might not be a live bait rig type of day because the fish are probably going to be suspended 4 or 5 feet up. Not that you can't do that. You can certainly throw a split shot out and fish suspended fish that way. But if the bait fish are real low, the walleye is going to be low. They, you know, the predator instinct and the biology of a walleye, their eyes are positioned to look forward, but to look up, more importantly, look up at the bait as it's swimming over their heads. So when we're talking bait, we're talking perch minnows mainly this time of year on Leech Lake and where the perches are going, those little perch minnows that are, you know, 1 to 2 inches long, where they're going are ultimately where the walleyes are going to be. So when I'm driving out, I pay attention to what the weeds look like. What is that bait doing? Is it in the bottom? If it is, okay, now I know that this would be a good time to do live bait rigging. And so where on the lake would I go? So I'm looking at the wind blowing. So right now today we had basically no wind, but it started to pick up here a little bit from the west, northwest. And what do I look at for? What am I looking at next? So now I'm looking at structure, main lake structure or shorelines where the weeds are the winds blowing in, but I'm looking also at cups and points in a straight, you know, in a break. So, well, you know, if there's a little point sticking off an island or a shoreline point sticking out in the water with steeper break lines by it and the wind's pounding into that, ultimately that's the direction I point the bow of my boat and motor on over there. And then I just trust my electronics and steep breaks adjacent to deep water this time of year, ultimately are going to have fish on them, on top, off the edges, or suspended just off the edges. So that's where I'm kind of going. And then transition lines. So we have a lot of sand grass up in Leech Lake here. And the walleyes love the edges of the sand grass. We're talking flats, but there's still edges. With side imaging technology, you can see sand patches within, you know, 100-yard stretches of weeds. There'll be a sand patch the size of a swimming pool, and inside that swimming pool, there'll be 20, 25 walleyes. And I will ultimately try to keep my bait presentation out of the weeds because that's where all the perch are. And leeches seem to work a little bit better this time of year still because they don't get bit off as much by the annoying perch. So right now, it's not so much on Leech Lake. I would say not so much a minnow bite yet. It's still probably a nightcrawler and leech bite still because it's basically summer still. It's a summer pattern. We don't have a lot of fall transition things going on yet, although there are some deeper fish that are showing up in places. But main lake rocks, if the wind's blowing in the rocks and it's cloudy, you're going to be up shallow on the 4 to 6 foot edge of the rock piles that are dropping pretty much where all the musky guys are and the smallmouth guys are. That's where those big walleyes like to be. And if it gets flat, calm and sunny, like it has been here this week, you're looking at those deeper edges, 10 to 12 foot rocks where they go from rock. That's where the hard bottom kind of turns to mud. Same places where the mayflies hatch and back at the end of June and early July is where you'll find those walleyes loading up now. But the sand grass seemed to be holding the most amount of bait this year on Leech Lake. And in Walker Bay, there's where we fish a lot. And I know there's other places in the lake in the south end too. And then also up into Portage Bay. Portage Bay is a real popular place. Sucker Bay up by the duck points. I know guys are catching fish, dragging leeches, Alinea rigs, and they're south. It's exactly what they're doing. They're finding the transitions from weeds to sand or sand to mud, and the walleyes are loaded up there. But follow the wind on Leech Lake, and that's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about walleyes, location, wind-driven points, cups, and little edges of sand, and the presentation is Alinea rigs with a nightcrawler and a leech. That's kind of where it's at until the water temperature really starts to drop, cool off at night. And then we'll start getting the shallow bite going again, and that's when everybody's back out there drifting jigs.
Right on, right on. You know, you're a teacher. You know, you kind of got that in you. And then a lot of being a fishing guide, as we all know, anybody that's in the industry, anybody that's guided before, been on a guided trip, you know, like being a guide, there's a lot of teaching involved in that. So that goes hand in hand, right? Like, I'm sure that's no surprise that, you know, that's just another quality that you have as a fishing guide, that ability to teach. When you're teaching to your clients that either have none or, you know, limited experience rigging bait, what are some of those things that you find to be, maybe I'm not going to say difficult, but what are some of the things that you think are like the most key that you spend the most time on as far as teaching with your clients that really helps them the most? Like, it's like the hardest thing for them to grasp when they got in the boat or something that they didn't know, you know, like a pattern in your career of like those things that have definitely been the most important thing as far as teaching in the boat.
Yep.
With rigging.
Yeah. Yeah. So ultimately I would say, and it is live bait rigging 100%, but it also pertains to bobber fishing. In that, and I've learned from clients, and I've passed it on to future clients, fellow anglers, tournament anglers, my partner in the boat when I'm fishing a tournament, and that is a hook setting strategy. And I learned real early on that women will outfish the men, and two, kids don't lose fish. So let's talk about that for a little bit. And what I've learned from this, and this is my takeaway, is that one, you have a live bait rig, your minnow's alive as long as you're not bringing it up to the boat every 30 seconds to check it, right? Make sure it's alive. It'll stay down there. It'll stay happy. It's not happy that it's hooked, but it's in a comfortable area of the water column. There's not a lot of pressure killing it going up and down as far as the pressure in the water when you're moving up in the water column. And then, so leaving your line in the water helps you get more bites, obviously. Two, when you do get a bite and you feed it line, it's painful for me to watch people that slowly reel up their slack, lift on their rod tip, reel down, lift up on their rod tip, reel down, think they feel the weight, give it another reel, set the hook. And it works. When you do it right, that obviously works. It's been working forever. But kids, what do kids do when they get a bite? If they even remember to give it line, they just start reeling. We're talking little kids. The rod's hanging over the side of the boat. They can't even hold it up.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely fast as they can. They just reel line as fast as they can. The fish, first thing it does is that feels that line going away. The hook gets positioned perfectly in their hook in the corner of their mouth. And the first time they shake their head, what happens to that hook? It buries right in the corner of their mouth. And kind of like a circle hook, you know, mentality with an octopus hook, that works perfectly. 9 times out of 10, and the kids don't lose the fish because they're getting a quality hook set regardless of how much line's out. They're just reeling, the line gets tight, the fish is basically setting its own hook by fighting the tight line. So my takeaway on that is, if you want to increase your hook setting percentage, don't set the hook, just reel. Reel as fast as you can, and when the drag starts going out, slow down and fight it like you always do. That being said, the most fun thing in fishing is setting the hook. So what do I do? My little take on that is I reel as fast as I can till that rod bends over and I got the full weight of the fish on it. And then I set the hook while I'm already reeling. That's what I do. So that seems to be the highest hooking percentage, is to just reel. Just reel, man. Don't worry about slowly picking up that line and setting the hook. Because let's think about a live bait rig. It's a sinker. It's a barrel swivel. And then it's 3-4 feet up that 10 feet of line, depending on your depths, length of leader. And when you drop that line, that sinker's not moving. Now that fish may be, everybody thinks that fish is swimming away from your rod tip. That may or may not be the case. They may be swimming forward in front of the boat. They might be taking a left, making a right, maybe swimming up in the water column. And you pick up that line slowly but surely, and you start to feel that fish as it begins to get tight, but your line needs to be in a straight line before you set the hook. That means the sinker's got to pick up and move between you and the fish, wherever that fish is at, before you can set the hook. And I can't tell you how many times people have set the hook, oh, I missed them, and then started reeling in, and about 7 cranks later, they got their fish on. Oh, it came back and bit it. No, it didn't. You just got your line picked up, and now you actually set the hook, even though you didn't try to. So that's my biggest takeaway on that, and that's one thing I passed along to a lot of people. My father, who's 76 years old, who's my tournament partner still, Dean Kovalevog. We won some tournaments, and he doesn't miss fish anymore. He can catch them, and he does the same thing. He'll just reel till that rod bends over, and he'll put a little weight into it once he's got it on there, but yeah, just reel. You won't miss nearly as many fish. And bobber fishing becoming very popular, right? Forward facing sonar, side imaging, bobber fishing, same thing. Clients, just reel. You know, that count to three and reel as fast as you can, and you will catch way more fish than if you set the hook. I am the most guilty one in the boat, typically on a guide trip. If I fish, which I never do really, is I'll miss fish because I like to set the hook and I get excited just like a little kid. But the kids who reel, they don't miss fish and they don't lose fish.
If you have any fishing memory that you would like to commemorate, or have questions about commemorating a fishing memory with a replica made of any fish that has ever graced your net, get in touch with Rizavi Fish Replicas, owned and operated by Jamie Rizavi over in New Rockford, North Dakota at Rizavi Taxidermy Studio. You can find them online at rizavitaxidermystudio.com or find him on Facebook at Rizavi Taxidermy Studio. You can see the pictures. Here at the JMO headquarters in Devil's Lake, we have some phenomenal replicas made by Jamie and his crew hanging on our walls, which we absolutely love. They look absolutely perfect, just like the fish that were reeled in that day. And every chance we get to go in and admire them and tell those stories and share those stories with each other, we absolutely do. Again, if you want, or if you have any questions about getting a fish replica made to commemorate any great trophy memory you have of fishing, get in touch with Jamie Rizavi at Rizavi Fish Replicas. You won't be disappointed. Yeah, man. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And your experience, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, the average everyday angler that's probably caught a handful of walleyes probably, you know, feels like he already knows, I already know that part of fishing or whatever. But, you know, your experience in those real, you know, just hundreds, if not thousands of clients that you've had over the years that, you know, over the course of a day or a half a day of fishing have learned those lessons that you just spoke on. There's just so much weight to that. I take a lot away from that. I appreciate that a whole bunch. Now, the last couple minutes of this, we'll kind of round this out maybe with some technical stuff. You know, you've mentioned it a couple of times. You know, you make considerations, you know, based on a handful of things, you know, with your setup. Yep. And, you know, your leader length, that's always a big conversation, you know, and some people, you know, they kind of have that list of, you know, well, I always have a certain length leader for 1, 2, and 3 reasons. Like those are my 3 things that I consider. And that's how long I know. I mean, for you, how consistent are you with your setups? Do you have like a default leader length and leader material size that can pretty much carry you on your guide trips throughout the year? Or do you kind of look at that differently based on what you're rigging, all those factors? Maybe talk a little bit about your considerations on your setup and, you know, just how often or what percentage of the time you kind of have your default settings on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. On average, well, first of all, the material that I use Berkeley Sensation. It's something it was brought to me from my business partner and colleague, Jeff Anderson, in that, I used to use a lot of a braided line on my reels, and I would use fluorocarbon line, on my, for leader material. And, this really just came with jig fishing and maybe a little bit of laziness, but pitching a jig on a shiner early in the year, Berkeley Sensation is a really good line to use. It's stiff enough, but yet limber enough that you can get a good action out of your jig. And so fast forward into having, you know, 8-9 rods set up in your boat and 4 people in the boat, I really didn't have room to have 4 sets of, you know, setups for each person. So I kind of just eliminated the braid and kept monofilament on all my reels. And what that did for me is it increased being lazy and not lazy, but just room and space, not having all those different setups with different presentations. It narrowed down to one thing, in that I use Berkeley Sensation 6-pound from my reel through my Lindy rig. And obviously it's not one solid line, it's segmented, but Berkeley Sensation has now become my favorite live bait Lindy rig line as well, and 6-pound. So what I do in the mornings or evenings when I get done with the trip, is I'll get to crawl back in my boat and I'll tie up new setups and whatever the weight is, depending on where we're catching fish, that goes on first. But I'll strip about 10 feet of line off my reel. I end up putting new line on my reels as I start to run out, you know, and I'll strip about 7 feet off. And I like to keep my basic setups about the same length as my rod, so that I can where the swivel is, it's up by the tip of the rod, and I can put the hook pretty much right in the end of the handle of my rod. So that's about 6.5 to 7 feet, 7.5 if I got a 7.5-foot rod. And that's about the right range for most presentations. I will use a longer leader, 8 to 10 feet, if I'm going to use a leech. And I happen to be around moss or sand grass, just to keep it up just a little bit. But typically it's that length. And I don't freak out if you get a nick or you cut it off. When it gets starting at 7 feet, and when it gets down shorter than, I would say, 4, then I make a new one. So I'm pretty much just clipping off the ends every day. You know, the knot end of a linear rig will wear out through a course of a 4 hours fishing, in the sense that it'll hit the bottom, and there's zebra mussels, and there's this, that, and another thing, and I'm constantly checking them, but the knot will dry out. So if you put your linear rig away at the end of the day after being soaked all day long, especially on a hot day or whatever, you put it in your rod locker or wherever, that line's going to dry out, and it's going to get brittle. So it's important that I cut them and clip them every day and retie that business end of the linear rig, get a fresh knot on it. But ultimately, I don't pay too much attention to it until that gets to be about 4 feet or less for the standard linear rig. If I am fishing suspended fish below the boat using a big minnow, which I do more and more nowadays, I'll find fish that are 15 feet off the bottom and 30 feet of water. And for those type of fish, and also I mentioned earlier that I'll now with side imaging, I'll pitch a linear rig two fish off to the side. So for that setup, I keep a real short one. I keep it about 3 feet. A 3 foot linear rig tied up, and all that does is it allows me to see below the boat. It keeps my bait, basically like a jig, right? It keeps my bait close to the cone angle of the sonar, or when I'm throwing it out, it just drops closer to, it's easier to cast if I'm throwing it out. Basically, we're looking at like a Carolina rig and bass fishing at this point, you know, or is that a Texas rig? I guess I don't know which. I'm not a bass guy.
No, you're
guy,
right.
Carolina rig. Yeah. Yep. Pitch it out there and then just slowly work it back right through what you're looking at side imaging wise. And that works real well. So I use a short one for suspended fish vertically, forward facing sonar now, just like guys that are pitching bobbers to fish. You can throw that short shanked or short rig with a minnow on it, or a leech, and swim it right through watching it in forward facing sonar, which is kind of cool. I watch them come up and eat that minnow. You can actually see your minnow freak out before it gets eaten. That's kind of a fun thing to watch. But that side imaging too, like you get so accurate with tossing those things, and it's just a lot more easy. It's easy, and it's more efficient when it's a shorter leader. So 6-7 foot, I'd say, was standard, about the length of your rod. And for live bait rigging, when it gets down to 4 feet, I think it's time to make a new one. 6 pound sensation, and that's pretty much it. It's simple, but it's deadly.
Yeah, but it you know, like you were saying, you know, it's efficient. You know, I think, you know, you were talking about, you know, being lazy or whatever, you know, that little joke, right? Like, that's, you know, you're just being lighthearted about that, but it really is an efficiency. And it, you know, for somebody, well, like myself, I got my first big boat recently, and it's like, yep. Oh, so now I got to outfit my boat, right? And right. I'm excited. And I want everything in there, and I want to have a reason to, go to the store and buy all this stuff. But, right. You know, there isn't as much of an efficiency in it, I feel, even for, you know, just the average guy that fishes with, you know, whatever, like, you know, his family, just because you have all these rods and you have them all rigged up differently. So, you know, everything's ready to go and everything's ready to rig. But man, when you got to dig in a rod locker and do this and that, and, you know, keep track of this, and you break one off, so then you just decide to go fish with another one, and things kind of get crisscrossed with the setups. When something is working and something is, you know, tried and true like that, you know, where you just have those, you know, you have all that room and space and everybody stays on the same rod, and all you got to do is do a wingspan of line off of that same main line, cut, you know, put that weight and swivel in there to segment it, but it's all coming off of the same deal. There's some real efficiency with that, you know, as a fishing guide, you know, is obviously a big deal for you. But yeah, that's certainly not laziness. We'll call that readiness.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
thanks for making me feel better about that.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's true though. 100%. I really do. Awesome, man. Well, we've completely nailed this, knocked it out of the park. I'm going to let you back to it, Toby. I know you're a busy guy. I feel super lucky to have some of your time today. I know you're guiding. And so any way that we can wrap this up, promote your stuff, promote your socials, promote your business, whatever you want to do to cap this off, but we've totally nailed it. I appreciate it so much. And, go for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for having me on the program. And I'd like to say hi to all the North Dakota, South Dakota people out there that are listening, and and maybe Fighting Sioux fans from the old days. That's back in my stomping grounds. I guess I was a hockey player and I played at UND, so some people might recognize the name there. But I'm on the water all the time. I'm a school teacher. My real job, you know, I throw balls at kids for 9 months. I'm a Phi Ed teacher, and then I throw lures at fish for three. So I'm constantly chucking things at fish, and I think we're pretty effective with it here on Leech Lake. Leisure Outdoor Adventures is our guide service. It's not just Toby Kovalevog fishing Leech Lake. We have 11 guides that are fishing not just Leech Lake, Vermilion, Cass Lake, Winnebagoche, Leech Lake here, obviously, and then down in the Brainerd Lakes area. We have a pretty awesome team, and we have some real accomplished anglers here in our team. Chuck Hassey's one of the hottest anglers in the fishing tournament circuits right now. He's here on Leech Lake as part of our team, and Chris Whitney's one of our guys. He just won a professional muskie tournament trail here on Leech Lake last year. So we have some real good sticks, and it's a network. So that's what's cool about a guide service versus a single fishing guide, is that we have a network of guys that share information daily. We're on the fish, and it's 112,000 acres. And if you're ever coming to Leech Lake to fish, it's a great opportunity to explore an awesome lake. It's a multi-species lake. But I really encourage people to hire a guide for a day, not so much to just fill your boat with fish, but to learn the lake. As we've been talking about today, there's a lot to figure out, and it's a huge lake. So 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, we do them all. Leisure Outdoor Adventures, you can find us on the website, www.leisureoutdooradventures.com. We have social media platforms. We film a show called The Guide Life. It is on our Leisure Outdoor Adventures YouTube page. It's a kind of a fun series that we do. A lot of our guides get their own day behind the camera to film. I just wrapped one up here last week, and then we do a Guide Wars. Guide Wars is a lot of fun. We literally fish against each other. We just did a thing last week where we were on a lake that nobody's ever fished. We made quadrants, kind of like Major League Fishing. We each had a quadrant for 2 hours, and it was a multi-species measurement tournament. That one's going to be a great one. It's going to air here soon. So our YouTube page, and then obviously social medias. We're on Instagram and Leisure Outdoor Adventure, or on Facebook, Leisure Outdoor Adventures. And we have a toll-free number, 855-LOA for Leisure Outdoor Adventures, 855-LOA-HOOK. So we want you to get hooked on fishing with us and catching a fish of a lifetime. So 855-LOA-HOOK. And me personally, Toby Kovalevog, I'm on all the platforms, Toby K Fishing, Facebook, and on Instagram. And I even started messing around with that TikTok, I guess. I got a few fun videos on there that I started doing. So
nice.
Look me up, and we enjoy sharing what we do. And Leisure Outdoor Adventures is here to stay, and we love catching fish. And like I said, making memories the last lifetime.
Toby, man, we're like, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. I'll let you back to it for real, man. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you very much. Yep. Bye-bye.